This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. 2 weeks in a row. Perry French, Perry French. Hi, Perry French. Perry
good
French.
Good morning, Matthew.
So good to have you here again.
It's fun to be back and do the show face to face and get the conversations
going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
It's not the same.
It's almost a little scripted. We kind of have it laid out. This is more about the...
Now we can just take off. Yeah, I can look at you and go, here he goes. He's gone.
That's just something we can talk about.
Or you hold up a piece of paper.
Exactly.
Welcome in, everybody. Welcome, Chris Mascaro, next on the tee. Just an incredible golf podcast. Go to podbean.com. You want to say good morning to
Good morning, Chris?
There you go.
Hope you're well.
All right. Here's where I want to start this week's Backspin Golf show. Last week, you kind of teased me with saying you were going to talk about bad-looking golf swings and why they work. And then you and I got into a whole thing about fans and no fans and Harbor Town and just all kinds. And we never got to it.
Right.
So I'm getting right to it to start this week. Right. I'm not going to wait till the end and then. So to explain to the peeps listening, because you told me what you meant, what you mean about that statement.
It's a pretty simple statement to put into context for teaching professionals, golf professionals, and people who've been around the game of golf. When you say, "Gosh, that's a kind of a strange golf swing," but it works. You know, we've had over the years, and this is not just as the last 2 weeks prior to this week, Daniel Berger comes to my mind as a golf swing that you look at and as any teaching professional would never say, there's no, you got to correct that. You see that position at the top of the swing, this left hand totally bowed,
I always thought,
and the club pointing off the target line.
I always thought Dustin Johnson, we've seen pictures of him, but
he does.
But even he's not nearly, it's
bowed, but it's on plane. There's two types of, there's three types, right? There's a club that's at the top of the swing. It's
down the line. Yeah.
Square to the target line.
Right.
Then we have it over the line that's pointing over the head, a la Matthew Wolf.
Yes.
Club going across the plane. And then there's Daniel Berger. And why does it work?
Not only he wins 1 week after being away with an injury.
And he is having,
he almost wins at Harbor Town.
Well, and he had prior to the COVID stop, he was having a great season playing. Now, part of it was injury that he played poorly last year. So health is always an important thing. I think it gets a little overlooked a lot with players.
Right.
You can't practice and hit a lot of balls. And then hands and wrists, those are the type of things, shoulders, backs. So
he had
all those things are
injury.
Yeah. So all those things that can occur from that, the sport itself. But the reason those swings like Matthew Wolf and Daniel Berger's will jump down to the Jim Furyk's of the world, go into the senior tour, the Jim Thorpe's of the world, the Lee Trevino's of the world, why those swings that don't look right, but boy, at the moment of truth, it's dang good. Webb Simpson comes to mind. He's got a very unique finish, the way the club, he gets into that twirl. It's all about how they deliver the club from transitionally to the ball. So everybody gets the club to the top.
One way
pretty much the same way on tour.
They vary on tour. Okay, all right.
But you have the outliers who take a different route. But on the reroute of the club and the change of direction, they learn how to get the club to that slot position where they can square it up to their target line and move the ball the way they want to move it. Highly professional, highly skilled athletes doing that. practice, trusting it. Those are the words that, you know, you can beat up.
We're talking about thousands and thousands
it's a 10,000 hour rule plus.
And hours, right.
And also, too, when they know what's right, they don't care what it looks like. Now, there are some players who have the vain golf swings that look, they're worried about the way the golf swing looks.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a little bit more of a tweaker. But when they're right, they know what's right, and that's what they're focusing on, the same exact things. That player, from Daniel Berger to Adam Scott to Tiger Woods, they're focusing on the two main things. And one is transition at the top, and then two, impact.
Right.
Right. And so when they get those two things lined up in their head, obviously they can see it through video and all that, but when they get it lined up in their head as they're playing, that's when they play their amazing best golf.
Right.
So how does it affect you and I, who don't play and practice 10,000 hours, and we haven't developed that kind of, and we're also
busy,
not as physically fit,
fit
to do all these things, to make the golf move. If you're not physically fit, the only thing you have to do is try to get somewhere close to what you consider that move is that creates the best power for you, best impact. But your ability to repeat it is going to be thrown off by your compensation move. You mentioned to me about your hands compensating. You kind of made that what's
I
casting.
Released the club right. way early.
Right. So that's your negative move in the golf swing.
Right.
It doesn't occur every swing. You couldn't hardly play very good golf because you cast it up. It's one of my negative swings and things that happen. I get moving the club. But when I don't, it's like, wow, what a totally different feel. Why can't I repeat it? Well, it's called practice and trust is a big issue, but mostly practice. So for those out there saying, well, my golf swing has this flaw, if you can identify the flaw, then you have a greater chance to correct it.
Yeah.
Most players do what you talk about. They throw the club. The one thing that the best players do is they hold their angle. They keep that lag. You talk about Sergio has the deepest angle, the deepest amount of lag. But that's the one thing that all those players
Every
have.
Every pro. Right.
And that's how come you see when they strike an iron shot, it's ball and then a divot that occurs somewhere between 3 to 5 inches in front of where their golf ball was. And if you're out practicing.
Which I have never done in 35 years.
If you're out practicing and you want to work on something, can I tell you how your angle of attack is? And this is what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally take a
Perry's drawing now.
You take a tee.
Yeah.
And you put it parallel to your parallel to your golf ball on the outside of your path.
Okay.
Okay. So it's towards the back of the ball. So we'll say it's pretty close.
But okay. All right.
Then you hit a shot and off the turf and you see where your divot begins.
If I take a divot.
A
lot of times I don't take a divot.
Part of that shallow swing is what you have is from releasing the club too soon.
Yes.
You don't release it terribly too soon because you're able to sweep it, but you're not changing direction where the angle of your attack is going to be a little
correct.
Bit...
Correct. And you said, we talked about this before, and this is true. I try to help the ball into the air. Yeah. I mean, 35 years I've been playing, and I know that's not right. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, that's it's all part of practicing.
Yeah, I was going to say,
really
I don't
getting,
practice.
Yeah, you just get into play, and you're doing a lot on just memory. You've done it this way, and yes, you know it, but and some days you get in the groove.
Right.
And you, the strike is there, and you probably get a little bit more turf turf interaction. But that's a good thing for the novice and, you know, player out there trying to identify their swing without being able to see it or film it.
Right.
But just literally simply putting a tee where the golf ball is on the parallel side, the outside of the
ball.
And hit the golf ball. If you have a ball on a tee, the goal is pick the ball off the tee and have a divot occur in front of it. You know, tee it up fairly low. If the tee's still sitting there, you pick the ball off the tee. Now, do you pick it up on the upswing?
Right.
That will cause you to lose distance and add loft to your club.
Right.
Or if you can catch it in the downswing and thus have a divot in front of the ball, 1, 2, 3, 5 inches, the further in front of it, the further you have a stronger angle attack, the more you've de-lofted your club. And that's why we see guys hitting 7 irons 210 yards. Because they've de-lofted that 7-iron into about a 5-iron.
It's a joke, though. Come on. It's a joke.
Much easier to de-loft the 7-iron to a 5-iron.
4-iron's 248.
Although the 4-iron's 248 are...
They're probably hitting a 1-iron.
Well, I mean, by impact, they are. Right. But yeah, forearm typically is 22 degrees aloft. They're probably hitting it with about 4 degrees of closure. So it's somewhere in that.
Right.
You know,
but anyway, that's
18, 17 would be about a 2-iron.
Right.
A would be 2-iron.
Yes.
But yeah, that's just angle of attack and practice.
Right.
Off of a tee, totally different, right? Because you're, again, if you're looking to ascend the shot in the air,
driver swing is totally different.
That's even fairway clubs.
Yeah.
Fairway and hybrids. You're looking for the club to be a little more shallow. Certainly on the driver, we're trying to create upswing and launch the ball. And the other piece of that puzzle is the golf ball. It is a huge component on why players can hit the golf ball this far and have such a steep angle of attack. Aggressive angle of attack that takes the divot because the ball is jumping.
Jack said it 25 years ago, the only way to fix all this distance stuff is to have a ball that you can that is controlled.
He's not wrong. I mean, he's not wrong. Right. However, he's not going to win.
No, he's not. No.
Not going to win.
He couldn't win 25 years ago, and he certainly ain't winning now.
And the only other thing.
Hey, get those Q stars and Z stars and turn them in, because we're going back.
This is not going to happen. But his point is well taken in that the game of golf, which is amazing, is that the number of players, as great as they are on tour, there's not a bunch of tour records falling every week. We had the one fall 2 weeks ago at Harbor
at
Town. Harbor Town.
Yeah.
So how many years has it been, right? You know, that's the interesting thing about it. So technology is definitely helping today's player. They're swinging the golf ball part in part due to the equipment with angles of launch and angles of descent, trying to manage the spin that's not occurring in the golf ball, but the launch
that's a huge part of it.
So it's all about the players adapting to the equipment as well, as they did back in the day.
I think it's a good point. Like, records aren't being shattered every week, but you have more golfers in that group who are, that's why I've always said, I think what Tiger has done is even more impressive than what Jack did, because every week that Tiger played, the number of guys that can get hot for 4 days and win, to me, is
I was going to go to the next part is course conditions.
Yes.
You didn't have golf courses that were being mowed at the heights they are for fairways to run out 40 and 50 yards, only unless it was burnt out.
Absolutely.
You know, when Jack and them were playing, that ball would land bump.
Right.
They were putting on 10s, maybe 11s if
as
they got to that.
To what they are now.
Well, yeah, and there is a skill. We'll say, it's smoother. Yes, that's true. But also the margin for error is reduced.
Yeah.
If you're putting on such a 12, 13 stimp green with a tight, that ball gravity won't fall in necessarily with a little extra speed.
Yep.
Whereas when you're putting
little
on 10,
tiny things like that.
A little extra grass slows it down. It goes in. It's all period stuff. It's all relative to the generation. But to your point, a lot of great players playing against Tiger. The fields are stronger and deeper.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to see another player, at least the next 20 years, get to 14 majors. 15 would be Tiger.
I
don't think anybody's going to
14. Here's another stat. This is just what happens when you and I talk and things come up.
Yeah.
They said, I think it was during Harbor Town, Rory, in his career, has been number one for a year, and I forget what the exact number is.
Yeah.
In order to catch Tiger for the most number ones, he'd have to be number one for 11 more years.
That's an amazing stat.
And change. 11 more years.
So many weeks.
And change.
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, that's
it's great
that's
stuff.
Tiger.
And that does tell the greatness of Tiger. We all know
that. Right. Okay.
But
this is something I've been wanting to ask you, and we got a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
So I have found when I go out to play at Kearney Hill, which, by the way, they could play a PGA event there right now. Picodome is great. Our courses are great. What I have found is, especially with the pandemic and people have time, I've been watching a lot of videos. Padraig Harrington's videos are fantastic.
Yeah.
There's all these. So if I go out one day and I don't chip well, I come home from the golf course and I sit and I'll watch 10 videos about how to chip better.
Okay.
Okay. Do I go to Man of War and get a large bucket of balls and chip? No, I watch videos. Knucklehead. Anyway, so what's happened to me now is when I go to play, we always talk about swing thoughts in your head and everything. And it hurts me that I haven't played with you because you're really good out on the course with me this way. What I have found is I have a million more swing thoughts. And coincidentally, a lot of them have to do with how it looks, which we just talked about. I have an idea in my head of what my swing should. Now, there are factors. My back, I figured this out too. I cannot make a full turn back and a full turn
through. You
and
a million others,
sure, yeah. Right. I can't do it.
Right, you're physical.
Structurally. Mm-hmm. But instead of going, okay, here's my swing. Here's my authentic swing. Now, how do I get the most? What can I do to get the most out of that? I have this vision in my head of what it looks like, and I got all these thoughts going on when I'm standing over the ball.
You've hit the proverbial nail on the head with the fact that you're looking at videos, filling your heads up with a bunch of swing thoughts, and trying to go to the golf course and pick one out that you can actually execute as it was shown to you.
Correct.
Also, number two, having done it without practicing.
Correct.
And number three, it necessarily doesn't apply to the shots that you're trying to play that particular moment. It may not be the proper form of
and
technique.
And for my swing, too.
I think the one thing that most players need to do, and certainly they could benefit from, is learn the motion, learn the setup, and just stay with it. You're going to have more success staying with what you know and trying a little different way of delivering the club, if it's a little faster or a little slower or a little steeper, those things that you can fiddle with, than trying to replay and recreate this new thing every day. Unless you're going to go to the range
and
take a lesson and have somebody drill it into your head and do things. One of the things you could do, golf swing-wise, is you can practice swing with your eyes closed. Why is that? Well, because then you start realizing what is moving in your body.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, yeah, you can.
That's a great idea,
have you
idea,
ever tried
though.
To take a chip shot, putt with your eyes closed?
I have putted with my eyes closed.
Putt with your eyes closed. That's something you can do. It's not easy.
No.
It takes a lot of concentration to be successful. Putt with your eyes closed and hit the ball squarely. The reason I say is because your eyes start doing things in motion, and you're thinking not clearly, it doesn't keep, typically we close our eyes when we're concentrating we're doing yoga or doing, whatever type of things.
Singing. I close my eyes a lot when I sing.
You're a great singer. So
thank you.
Do those things to make yourself concentrate better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that you have to practice. And really changing from, it's all great entertainment, quite frankly. Patrick Harrington.
I know.
But unless it's talking to you on the tee, let it be entertainment.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I got to go. There's some videos I have to watch. love you, man.
Love you, man.
It's great to see you. See you next week.
We will dial it in.
All right. All right. We'll be back. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. On the line with me now is somebody. He's a legend to me. I almost have difficulty speaking with him, but being the professional I am, I somehow will muddle through. Jeff Babineau is joining me. He is a legend.
Keep a straight face for long.
No, I have a totally straight face. He is a legend. He's was with Golf Week, a great Golf Week writer for a long, long time, and now with a group that is really spectacular, Morning Read. If you go to morningread.com, first of all, hi Jeff. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you are. You got some, there are some studs riding over there at the Morning Read. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a good lineup. And, we try to write something a little different or give our take. And there's a lot of experience over there. It goes a little beyond, writing about Bryson hitting one 428 or whatever it is. you know, hopefully enough of us have seen enough golf that we can lend a pretty decent perspective on some things happening around the golf world.
Yeah, no, you do. I mean, I check it out, and it's just, it's really terrific. And as you said, you know, we're pretty blessed in this, I guess, in this business, which Backspin Golf is. You know, there are some really terrific writers out there carrying on the tradition of great golf writing. And, you know, Lord knows that the last few months have been something obviously very different. But for you guys also that are writing about this, and I haven't spoken to you since the restart 3 weeks ago. Just general feelings about what's going on.
I mean, I think the golf's been great. The fields have been strong.
Yeah.
You know, a few guys finally took this week off after playing the first three, a lot of the top-tier guys. But I think Detroit, you know, still has the Rocket Mortgage Classic, still has a better field than it had a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got some good names in there. So I think the golfers were, like, ready to go. And the golf we have seen has been at a high level. So I've really enjoyed the restart. I think we really have 3 good weeks under our belt.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, I want to ask you this, because I've been getting opinions from different people about this, and I'll tell you mine. I certainly don't want this virus to continue. I want it to be over. But in terms of me as a fan watching the golf on TV, I almost hate to say it, but I don't. I'm enjoying it more with no fans on the golf course. And I know it's kind of weird, but when I watch the coverage, it's, to me, it's better with no fans there. With the golf course, the way it was designed to be played, without stands around the greens, and with guys hitting it into the rough where normally it would bounce off a spectator and, you know, stay right there. I'm enjoying it more. I think the camera angles are better. I think all of it is better. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I hear you. I don't miss the fans so much, but I think there's different layers of events on the tour.
Yeah.
I mean, I can watch them play a great track like Harbortown and not miss fans being there, not hearing the mashed potatoes.
Right. Yeah, well.
Out, you know,
yeah.
A few Baba Booey's left.
Yep.
But... You know, and I love, those are classic tracks. I love the fact that a lot of these bombers have played places they don't usually go. You know, they don't go to Colonial or Harbortown necessarily. But I think as you kind of turn up the volume a little and we get to, you know, a major being around the corner with the PGA, I think those are going to be odd events not to have fans. I think it's cool,
yeah.
the momentum and the reactions you hear across the golf course. You know, initially... when they announced Augusta originally, or the thinking was they might have a Masters without fans, I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. I mean, I've seen a lot of Masters, and that would be something different. But honestly, it just wouldn't be a complete picture in my mind, not having the roars you hear on that back nine coming through those tall pines. So I think there's different levels. Like you said, I've enjoyed it for a few weeks, but at the bigger events, I want to see some more atmosphere.
Yeah, I agree. I think the majors are a separate thing, especially Augusta. I mean, especially those roars that everybody, including the players, hear from all around the golf course. But for right now, I kind of like it. And as I said, the camera, you know, because there are no fans now, we have these incredible cameras around the golf course with guys out there and women out there doing it. And it's just a different perspective to me. You know, it's more like when we play, like when they have a shot of somebody from the middle of the fairway towards a green without people all around, it's kind of, you know, I don't know about you, but I know when I play just myself, that's how I feel. I'm always like I'm in the middle of a PGA event. Don't you think?
Well, I would say wherever you play, there's big numbers of fans.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
well, I would think you'd be used to it by now.
Yeah, but, that's true. I am kind of used to it. Yeah, it's actually a breath of fresh air for me on the weekends when nobody's out there following me around. You're right.
Yeah, nice. I like it. Yeah, and you know, we've got some boom mics out there. We're hearing some conversations
yeah.
we might not hear. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I've been glued to it for 3 weeks. I think it's been really good, and hopefully it continues this week up in Detroit.
Now, we've obviously had some, other than Dustin winning this week, you know, we've had some surprising play from some guys that we haven't heard about and some guys continuing. I just got to say, Abraham Answer is like my new favorite guy for some reason. I love watching that guy play golf, but there have been other guys too, and as you said, the level of golf has been high, and it's been fun on these golf courses, which, by the way, are not the easiest golf courses. They're short compared to others, but boy, they're, you know, it's been great watching these guys move around those courses.
Yeah, I mean, it's different watching Webb Simpson play Harbortown than it is a Rory McIlroy or Bryson DeChambeau now. Some of the angles and going at, you know, holes that you never even thought of. You know, whoever, when Pete Dye made that play, he wasn't thinking some guy's taking it over the corner 370. so that's certainly been interesting. And as you say, it's just been, there's a lot of good little stories out there, right? I mean, Daniel Berger coming back and winning and the great season that Webb Simpson's been having, you know, close eye on Spieth. I think he's been interesting. I think there's a lot more good things happening with him right now than he's seen in a little while. You know, it's been, 3 years next month since he won.
Amazing.
So, amazing. And that kid's got something special. So, you know, you want to see him climb back. And just a million, as you say, Abraham Answer. I found myself during Harbortown watching golf swings. A lot.
And yeah.
He has such a good action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know who swings it more. I don't know if length will hold him back a little bit in the majors. He's not overly, you know, he's a medium length guy. But the action itself, wow. I mean, he's going to make a lot of money out there.
Yeah. He is. All right. Now, how about this? Talk to me a little bit about your feelings about what, and peeps listening, if you haven't heard this. Speaking with Jeff Babineau of Morning Read and Golf Week for a long, long time, talk to me about what happened with the TV contract being dropped by Fox and going to NBC for USGA. That came out of nowhere, didn't it? Or, you know, you're a legend, so you might have had an inside track on this.
Well, you know, it's funny. My buddy Doug Ferguson, who does such a good job with the Associated Press covering golf, he broke that story on Sunday, and I'm like, wow, that's a big story. You know, Fox getting out after its huge entry in 2015. It's funny, I was at their very first broadcast was the U.S. Amateur Four Ball.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at, you know, Corey Pavin and Curtis Stranger there and Paul Azinger, and nobody knows anything about any of those players. I mean, it's not even like a U.S. amateur. These are plumbers and carpenters.
Right.
Insurance guy. I'm like, good luck with this one. And I don't know. I don't know if Fox ever really connected on the golf. I know they wanted to do some things different, but I think all in all, I think golf has a lot of traditionalists. So if NBC isn't calling the U.S. Open or if you don't have Jim Nance on, there's people that kind of miss that, right? So not everyone embraces the different, and Fox was just losing its shirt with this contract. So I think it's good for them probably that they got out. It'll help them put money in other areas. You know, they do some good stuff in other sports, and it's good for NBC. You know, Dan Hicks is he's a member of Wingfoot, so him calling the U.S. Open is a great one, and we still got a lot of Paul Azinger. And, Pete Bavacqua, I saw the head of NBC Sports, positioned it as a win-win for his group and Fox, too. So I tend to believe him. I think maybe it was.
Well, I am not a Joe Buck fan, and I'm not, the whole Fox thing to me, except some of the technology that they did was really good and different, I thought. But other than that, you know, I'm not a big fan in general of golf commentary. Unless it's Renton Laidlaw and the European Tour. I mean, that's just, thank you. Thank you very much. That's just that's just me. I mean, I just thought it was interesting because the contract was only halfway through, right? It was like a 12-year contract, and they got out halfway through.
Yeah. I don't even think they reached the halfway point. And you know, they had some challenging ones. I mean, you think of, you go back and look at the whole thing, and they opened at Chambers Bay.
Which sucked.
You know, it was new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was new. And I mean, I had visited that place months before the event and thought it was pretty cool, actually. But
yeah,
it just didn't come off that way. And Aaron Hills was, you know, players were slaughtering that place.
Yeah.
That was a new venue. So, yeah, the whole mix, you know, and Joe Buck, I mean, there was always going to be criticism when he came in there, and even though they put some good guys around him, I mean, I can listen to Paul Azinger or Brad Faxon all day long.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Curtis, you know, Curtis walking out on the course. But,
yeah,
you know, in the end, it was just different, and in golf, I don't think different tends to work all that much.
Right. All right, that's great about golf. But for the two or three minutes we have left with you, I want to hear about your dog. This story, peeps, listen up. This is really cool. Okay, go.
All right. So, I mean, what? 2020's been a disaster, right?
Yes.
It's gone right 2020.
So yes.
We have two dogs. We had to put our one dog down. He's only seven.
Oh.
In April. And so we have our other dog, Bogey, who's 12. And, I mean, he's at my wife's – he's not a foot from her heel the whole day long.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he went on the run. My son took him for a walk. He went on the run. We looked for this dog for almost three solid weeks, 20 days, and didn't get a lead till the 19th day. And we got out there at dawn the next morning hoping he'd be out moving around. It's so hot here. And
yeah, you're in Florida. We should tell people. Yeah,
just terrible thunderstorms every night.
Yep,
which he shakes when he's indoors.
Oh.
So then, and he appeared, and my middle son Derek got him. You know, I got a tip. I said, "Hey, he's on this street." He drove, and I hear him say, "I see him," and it was awesome. So we've had him home a week, but of all the stuff in 2020, I mean, we kind of inside thought we would never see him again. Hope that maybe somebody took him in at least and given him some loving home, but we got him back, and he still stiffs me every time I walk by.
Yeah, but it's a good kind of stiff. I mean, that's
a great story. I loved it. So many people found joy in the story.
It's just so great. I mean, it really is, and it when that happens, it's when you lose us. You know, especially now, Jeff, with it, what everybody's going through, and being quarantined, and all the stuff and everything. Somehow our pets, there have been more pets adopted in the last 3 months, I think, than ever. And I think we always knew the value of having a dog or a cat or whatever in your home. But now, so when that happened, I can't even imagine those 3 weeks. I really can't. I mean,
it was awful. Yeah. Every storm, my wife would just cry.
Oh.
Just so, I mean, people out there missing pets, keep the faith. I mean, it's in. Really, our whole town came together. We had so many people we don't even know out looking for this dog. So it's just a really cool community story.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2020 hasn't given us a lot of warm and fuzzy.
No, that's for sure.
It's kind of nice to get a little bit of a hug.
Yeah, and before I let you go, just, you know, your Red Sox are going to suck. They'll be done five games in, they'll be out of it. So I'm just saying.
It could be eliminated early. Hey, but we got Cam Newton, so we're all.
Hey, there you go. All right. Next time we'll talk about Cam. This is awesome. All right. You're a great one, Jeff. It's so good to catch up with you, and I'll talk to you again real soon.
You got it. Anytime.
All right, man.
Thanks.
See ya. Jeff
Babineau.
He's so great. What a story, huh, Sean? That is, it's awesome. That's all it is. All right, we'll be back. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf on this 4th of July weekend. I'm going to be playing golf again, as I did yesterday. You know what I love? People say it's too hot to play golf. They have a thing called water and Gatorade now. Have you heard of those things? Oh, it's that will never keep me from playing golf. Anyway, I am so happy always, every time we speak with Ryan French, every time, it makes me really happy because I never understand how he does what he does. His service is invaluable to those of us that love the game, and he's become quite the celebrity. I mean, he's well. Let's say hello to him, and I'll talk about this. Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you guys? Thank you very much, as always, for having me on. And it makes me happy to be on your show. When you ask me, so
how about
thanks
this?
For asking.
How about this, Sean? Isn't this great? We could just do this for 10 or 12 minutes, and it would be be fun for
good.
Me. I know that. But so before we get to some of these actual things going on in the world of Monday qualifying, because you are Monday Q Info, and you can follow Ryan on Twitter at A Case of the Golf and the number one. Scores and stats from Monday Qs and developmental tours around the world, and he's not kidding. Around the world, all of these things about trying to get to the PGA Tour and qualifying for tournaments. But you and your 36,500 followers, I swear, I look at the people that on Twitter now and they're retweeting you and asking you questions and stuff. And I'm like, man, this guy is it. You know what the point is, Ryan? Sorry it took me so long to get to it. It's great that people are so. Sean's laughing because that's a problem apparently he has with me all the time. Is that what you mean, Sean? Like, I do that all the time? Anyway, it's great that so many people are so interested in this aspect of pro golf. And you're a big reason why now with social media that people can keep up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so appreciative, Matt. I mean, I say it all the time on your show. You know, I really thought if I had 200 followers, I didn't even think about how many followers I would have because that was just not even a remote thought in my head when I started this, that it would somehow grow to this. I mean, there a week does not go by that I don't look at my followers and go, that is just crazy. So I'm very appreciative. Yes, I mean, I really think a large reason is it's just a very unreported side of pro golf.
Yeah.
And people, you know, the game is thought of, I think, from the casual golf end to be elitist and everybody's rich and everybody, you know, flies in private jets and those kind of things. And 95% of golfers are pro golfers are, you know, running their way, living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is something a lot of us can relate to. But this is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. And it's on your feed constantly. But not usually as often as this name. Fred Funk has 8 PGA Tour wins, 9 Champion Tour wins, 649 PGA Tour starts, and over 21 million in PGA Tour earnings. And on Monday, he was in the Korn Ferry Tour Monday Q qualifying field with his son also. I mean, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, this COVID time, you know, there's just no place to play. So, you know, Champions Tour is obviously not playing yet.
Right.
And so, you know, these guys that, you know, they've been competitive their whole life. And so mini tours and Monday qualifiers are just loaded with, you know, guys that are looking. No, I assume Fred was playing partly because his son was playing. But, I mean, you know, when you've been competitive your whole life and then someone else tells you, you know, for different reasons that you have to stop and you find a place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he played pretty well, you know, he didn't get through, but he shot 3 or 4 under, but, you're going to see a lot of guys that you would not normally see at Monday qualifiers, at least until some things get going full steam.
Can you tell us a little about Paul Peterson? I mean, that's a name that most people have never heard.
Yeah, I mean, Paul has actually, you know, Paul is kind of a story of what these guys do and the extent they go to, you know, kind of chase their dreams. So Paul was a very good college player, kind of just struggled out of college and decided to go overseas. And we had him on the podcast the other day, and we asked him to name the tours that he's played on. And I will shorten it up much because there's probably 10 more in addition. But He's played on the Japanese Tour, the Asian Tour, the Sunshine Tour, which is in South Africa, the European Tour. He's played an event over here, Canada, Latin America.
Lord.
And that doesn't even include the mini tours that, that he's gone to. So, you know, he's an American that wants to, I mean, his dream is to come back to the PGA Tour. But the places you go where you can play. And so, you know, he had some success in Asia, had a little bit of success in Europe. And, you know, his ultimate goal is to get back here as Monday qualified and finished in the top 25 2 weeks in a row. And, so you know, it's just,
this
you know,
is, we're talking, we're talking about the PGA Tour, right?
Yes.
I mean, so he,
he was on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Right.
But, I mean, his goal is to get to the PGA Tour.
Right.
And he said, you know, it's so nice to be in the United States. You know, he turned pro in like 08 or 09 and has never been here. So for 10 or 11 years, he's played overseas. You know, his family's not around. His friends aren't around. And, you know, he said, it's so nice to just play in the United States where my friends and family can follow along.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. There, every single thing that you have on your Twitter feed is a story in itself, as I said. Oh, by the way, you just mentioned your podcast. Tell everybody how they can get that.
Yeah, I have two podcasts. Any Giving Monday is kind of a traditional just interview, and we talk with guys who are out there living in their cars or you know, chasing their dream. And then Chasing Status is with Neil Johnson. Neil's been a pro for about 14 years and is still chasing it at age 38 and has a ton of insight about, you know, he's been through basically everything. So we do that every Monday. So, yeah, you can find those on Spotify and Apple. So I appreciate it.
No, that's awesome. I don't know, there's something going on here in the studio. So you're there outside Chicago, right, is where you are?
I'm sorry?
You're there outside Chicago, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Now, you at home, I know you have kids, and while you're compiling all of this stuff, have you been keeping up, I assume you have, with the last three tournaments since the tour came back?
Yes, yes.
And give me your impressions. Sure. We always talk about the Monday qualifying stuff, but I want to talk to you for a minute about the PGA Tour, where there are all these people you cover are trying to get to. What have been your thoughts for the first three events with no fans, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have such a huge opportunity right now, Matt. I mean, obviously no other sport's going, so I mean, even the most casual golf fans are probably watching golf.
Yep.
I mean, watching it on TV, I mean, obviously fans add something, but I don't, I think in golf, it's probably the least amount. It's not
agree.
Like, you know, the fans are a huge part. So I really have not, like, from a TV watching experience, I haven't really missed the fans. And it's been great to kind of get some insight into conversations with caddies and things that we would not pick up if it wasn't. So, I mean, I think it's a huge opportunity for the game. I hope that, you know, they can stay safe. They're doing, seems a pretty good job. I don't think that there was ever going to be a hope of having zero positive tests. But,
right.
I think it's a great opportunity for the game. And I hope, you know, I'm definitely biased. I hope they tell some more stories and do some more behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
But it's great for the game for sure.
It is great for the game. And you bring up a good point because there are no fans and they've had to change the way they've covered these events. They do have some more time for behind the scenes features and players that you may not have heard of, which is exactly what you do every day with the thing. I mean, those, and to those of us that love golf and what, yeah, it's great with the big guys. I love hearing about Rory and I love hearing, but I like it much better when we get stories that are about people we may not know about and how they got there too, which is exactly what you do with the Monday qualifying.
Yeah. I mean, my wish for TV coverage is always that they cover more things besides the leaders. There's so much going on in a golf tournament. You know, on the PGA Tour, if you finish in the top 10, you get exemption into the next week. That's often a huge thing, you know, and guys that might not have conditional status are fighting for a top 10 to get in, or just made the cut, or temporary spot, you know, exemptions. Like Will Gordon.
I was just going to say, temporary membership. That was my favorite part about Will Gordon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much going on in a golf tournament outside of the leaders that I wish TV would cover more. And I understand, you know, the leaders are going to, what, and big names are going to drive the thing.
Yeah.
But I think the TV has done a very poor job of telling the complete story of what goes on in the tournament. And so let's give it a chance and see if people are interested, because I think they would be.
I agree. And somehow we have to get you to be the head of a network that covers golf. Because, you know,
all right,
because it's not going to happen with me. I'm too far gone. But maybe you, with the base you're building up, we could get you in that spot. Because I have said many times on the air, I want fans at the majors, if it's at all possible, and the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
Every other tournament, I am more than happy to watch with no fans. I actually love it.
I totally agree. I have not missed. I mean, I've actually, I'm sure you saw the clip, but along at the RBC, they had some of those houses along 18, and somebody yelled in the backswing, mashed potatoes or whatever, and it reminded me that I did not miss the fans.
Well, when they said no fans, that's what we all thought. Great, no more mashed potatoes guy, no more get in the hole, no more any of that.
Right.
And then they're at Hilton Head, and people are yelling from their the fence over there by their condo, and I was like, oh, somebody shut them up over there. Anyway, well, it's great to talk to you. I'm glad you're doing okay and the family's doing okay. As I always say, you're just, it's an incredible story what you've done, and I'm always really happy to have you on the show and have people hear you, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Okay, yeah, okay. And as always, you know, you guys have been so great to me. I say it every time I'm on.
Yeah.
You guys were the first one to give me the opportunity, and will always be very special to me, and I appreciate it very much.
Okay. I'm getting ready to sob here. Stop it. I'm going to start sobbing. You're the best, man.
Good.
See ya.
All right. Thanks again.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ryan French. Monday qualifying. I'm telling you, go to A Case of the Golf One. And just check out his Twitter feed, because the stories are amazing. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition, the holiday edition. Please, everybody, stay safe. Do what you're supposed to do if you are out. And we'll be back next Sunday with another edition of Backspin Golf. Of course, thank you to our partners, Man of War Golf, French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Rec, Edwin Watts, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Clark's Pump and Shop, Commonwealth Credit Union, and our buddies over at NFP Insurance. All of them. We couldn't do the show without them. And so please, peeps, take advantage of these great people. All right. Talk to you next week on Backspin Golf. It's ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.